Good morning, church. Today's passage comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Next, Pastor Phil has some family news.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. Thank you for joining us here and online. If you are new or visiting, welcome. We're so glad that you're here with us. We actually, just to kind of clarify that announcement at the end, we actually do have a starting point luncheon after this service. And even if you didn't register, I think you can still join. It's just a time to eat lunch together and, you know, share a little bit more about our church and how to get involved. And so we'd love for you to join us for that as well. This morning, I have the privilege of introducing our guest speaker. But before I do, just one family news I'd like to share. We do have some staff transitions that are happening in this coming month. And so if the staff can come up, we have Sandy, Val, Kirsten, and Harry. Come on up. So Sandy, as you know, she has been our preschool director in our Kairos Kids ministry for the past 2 years. And as you know, she's been praying and processing through things. She's actually going to be moving up to LA at the end of this month. And so we wanted to just be able to share beforehand so that you could take her out for lunch, you know, thank her, encourage her, and pray for her as she makes this transition up to LA. And she's just been such a wonderful asset to our church and just such a blessing in building up this body of Christ. So again, this is not her last Sunday. We'll pray for her at her last Sunday. But again, please take this opportunity to just encourage her in this month. Now, this is Harry. He is joining our staff as a youth and college intern. And so as our youth group is starting to grow and being formed, you know, we were bringing Harry in to help us with that, but also to serve our college students that will be actually returning in full swing in the next couple of weeks. And so please also pray for him and encourage him as he joins our staff as well. This is Val. She has been serving on our staff. We just never formally introduced her. So we're just like, let's just take this opportunity to introduce everyone. But Val has been serving as our church administrator for a lot of months now. And she's just been doing a lot of the logistics, operations, and just, you know, helping this church run. And so yeah, pray for her. There's a lot of things going on in the church as well. And finally, this is Kirsten. You've probably seen her a lot too. She's been serving a lot, but she's officially going to be joining our staff as a college administrator and a media coordinator. And so, please pray for us as a staff that we would be faithful in being good stewards of this church, building up this church and moving it towards maturity in Christ. Okay, so let's give them a round of applause. Yeah. So it's golf. This morning, we are continuing on in our guest speaker series. We've had several guest speakers over the past few weeks, and we have the privilege of hearing from Pastor John from Coban, Guatemala. They were in town because of the AMI Missions Conference this past weekend, and you know, a lot of us were able to go up to Anaheim and just hear from the AMI family of missionaries and church planters what God is doing all around the world. And you know, just over this short few days that we were up in Anaheim for the conference, just hearing, and you know, I was so convicted of even their story that he'll share more of later, just their obedience and their faith and trust in where God was leading, and just how they were really convicted and just faithful to that conviction as they followed God wherever he led. So if we could welcome Pastor John up, he's going to come and share the word of God with us.
Yeah? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Really excited to be here. Mine's a different church from first service. So many more people. But yeah, thank you guys for coming in. I always feel bad for first service people when they have to speak at a church and there's two services, because my first sermon is always like practice run. So I make a lot of mistakes and I'm all nervous. But by the second one, it's a little better. But anyways, just going to be quickly introducing myself and my family and our ministry before I get on with the message. So for those of you guys who don't know us, we're the Moon family. It's my wife, Stephanie. And I have two kids, two boys, Elijah, he's 6 years old, and Joel, 4 years old. This was Elijah's kindergarten graduation from our school, the school that we run. And then we have a new baby girl coming October, so will be joining us October 17th, so we're very excited. She'll be the reigning queen of all the Moon cousins because it's all boys, and so she's the first daughter, and I'm extremely, extremely excited but also nervous because I don't know what to do with the girl. Okay, I've had two boys, I know how to take care of boys, I know how to have fun with boys, but now I don't know what I'm going to do with the girl. But my heart's already excited and longing for my daughter to be born and to be able to really just raise her and protect her and be able to shield her from all the guys. And so, we're serving in Coban, Guatemala. I'm Korean. My wife is Chinese American. I was born and raised in Bolivia, South America. I was there till I was 18. Then I went to the States, where I went to college. I met my wife freshman year of college. Let me tell you, most of you are college here, right? This is the time to meet your wife, okay? Once you leave college, it's so much harder. You have to work and you have no time, but in college, you have so much free time. So I'm just kidding. But we met freshman year of college, got married after college, and then we worked, and I served as a teacher. I'll share more about my wife later, but I was a teacher for about 5 years and then quit teaching, joined ministry staff at Radiance Church in San Francisco. And then after a couple years of ministry, we were sent out to Guatemala. And so that's how we ended up being missionaries in Guatemala. And God really gave us a calling to serve in this country. And it's always been my dream to be a missionary. I had a calling when I was in middle school to be a missionary, and it's always been my dream to start a school. And so when God opened up this opportunity, it was a very clear open window for us. And this school is very similar to the schools that I grew up in Bolivia, international schools run by missionaries. So I'm a product of what we're doing, of the international school run by missionaries. And that's something that we want to do is, as a school and as a ministry center, be able to lift up the next generation. So this is a picture of our ministry center. I'm sure you've seen some pictures if you have followed the interns that you sent out. And by the way, I forgot to say in the beginning, but thank you. Thank you, Carlos, for sending us 4 interns last year to serve at our ministry center. And I really am so grateful for your church and for blessing us with the workers and the gifts, each gifts that they brought to serve the children, to serve the ministries, to serve the school. So this is our ministry center. I know it's hard to see the buildings, so I kind of label them so you get an idea of what all these buildings are. So on the left side is more of the school side of the property. Right? We have the school building, the school cafeteria, school library, and the missionary house, school office, etc. And then on the right side, we have the church and the church-related buildings. And then we have this new property that we purchased about last year that we're developing, getting ready for further expansion of the ministry. So that's a quick view of our ministry center. I'm standing in the location where we're going to be building our future church site as well, an auditorium for the school, and also like a sports center. And so in our ministry center, we have two main ministries, the church and the school. So through the church, we have a regular church service. And God has been very faithful with our church. We've transitioned from being a youth church to an adult church. And then we have the children's ministry. So we have a service just for children. And through the church is where we do all the programs that we do that you saw a lot of the interns doing, teaching the classes, the music classes, math classes, computer classes, English classes, and tutoring. And all the community stuff that we do is through the church. And then our second ministry is the school. God sent us to start the school as well. So I'm the principal of the school and pastor of the church. And so through the school, we serve children that want higher education. So we're the first international school in our area, apart from all the southern part of Guatemala, where the capital city is, and all the other big cities. There are no other international schools up north. And so it's nice. We have no competition, so it's easier to do things. But God has been very faithful. We started the school in the middle of COVID. We never expected, and we probably would have never started school if we knew COVID was going to happen. But we had to do it anyways because we already started. People already registered, and we started pre-kinder through second grade, only about 40 students. Then second year, the one we just finished, we grew to 60 students. And now this year, this August, we're starting our school with 90 students. So God has been very faithful in our school, sending the teachers, the help, the curriculum, the materials, everything that we need. God has been very faithful. And if you want to hear more about what God is doing in our ministry center, then I encourage you to continue to follow what God is doing in Guatemala, and you can sign up for newsletters and hear more about that. Or just talk to any of the interns that went there last year. They'll be more than happy to share with you what God is doing there. And so with that, again, if you have any more questions, feel free to reach out to me afterwards. But so just a quick update of what we're doing there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. God, I pray now as I share from your scripture, as I share from your word, Lord, may you be the one that speaks through your servant, Lord God. May it be your words, not my words. May it be your thoughts, not my thoughts, Lord. May it be your conviction, not my conviction, and that touches the hearts of everyone here today. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come and just worship and hear from you. Holy Spirit, move powerfully in each one of us. Open up our hearts. And so, Father, we want to submit this time to you and pray that you'll be honored and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as Pastor Phil shared, we had the joy of coming to here to be part of the missions conference, and really encouraging time. I just want to do a quick plug-in. For those of you who didn't come, it was an awesome conference, and I hope you have a lot of FOMO and come next time, okay? It was really great to just be part of the AMI family and to be reminded again of what God is doing, not just in our churches, in our mission sites, but to see what God is doing all over the world, all over America, all over the globe. And it was more encouraging to be able to just be together with everyone and worship, and to be under the same roof and to be worshiping the Lord and seeing how God is using so many individuals to carry out his mission. And, as we were worshiping, really filled me with joy to see so many people that were committing to serving and to wanting to live out their lives for Jesus. Because, at the end of the day, that's what God wants. God wants his people to move. God wants his people to act. God wants his people to do something about the needs that exist in this world, right? It's no use for him to have a church that does nothing. But he looks for a church that wants to move. And so today I want to be sharing continuing what Pastor Andy shared last Sunday. If you guys were here last Sunday, Pastor Andy shared on the calling of the church, right? And I know Pastor Andy from Radiance. We serve together, and he's my best friend. And when people ask me, what do you miss the most about America? I don't miss anything, honestly. I don't miss the food, the comfort. I don't miss anything. But I do say the only thing I do miss is Pastor Andy. I wish we could serve together forever, but we can't. When I met him at conference and we had time to catch up, we were just talking, and I told him, oh, yeah, I'm going to preach at Kairos, so I'm leaving on Sunday. And he goes, oh, I just finished preaching there. And I was like, oh, okay, well, what did you preach about? And so we started talking, and he shared that he had talked about the calling of the church. And, that was a great Holy Spirit moment, because What I want to talk about is a follow-up of what he shared. And so my message that I want to share today is the calling of the believer. Right, so as the church is called, and I took this excerpt from his script because I told him, send me your script so that I don't say the same things you said, but I can continue what you said, because the passage that I had picked on Philippians, that's a passage that came to me about 2 months ago whenever, Carlos reached out to me to share. This, as I was praying, this is the passage that came to me, and it was really great to see how God, the Spirit, was moving there. And so, and that last towards the end of his sermon, he said, may we be a church that is committed to the gospel, called into a radically new community of love, and sent out into the world by the missional heart of God to become a church that displays his incredible plan of redemption. Such a great vision. Yeah, such a great vision. And it would be amazing if every church was like this, if every church lived out this calling. I know that every church's mission, vision statement is different, but essentially we all have the same goal, right? To be a place of community of love, to go into the world, to have a missional heart, and to be able to share this plan of redemption, the gospel, to those who haven't heard it. But here's the thing. We may have amazing visions and amazing plans, but if we don't have the people, we can't do it, right? If we don't have the people that are willing to carry out the mission and the vision, it's hard to see it come to fruition. Of course, God can do anything. God can do anything that he wants without any one of our help. But if we really want Kairos Church, our churches, to live out this type of mission and vision, to be a church that is called out to do all this, then we as believers, as members of not just this church, but the church of Christ, we need to do our part. We need to serve. We need to give our lives to Jesus and to his work so that he can be honored and glorified. So from the passage I'll be sharing today, Philippians 2, 12, 18, we're going to see three things that Apostle Paul calls us to do. Okay, there are three things that the Apostle Paul is calling each and every one of us to do for for God's kingdom. I'm going to read the passage, Philippians 2, 12 to 18. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen. All right. So what are the three things? Here there are three things that the Apostle Paul calls us, that calls each believer to do. So we're going to be going through the three different things that the cause and effect of the calling of the believer, that if we do these things, these other things will happen, right? If we follow this calling of what he's asking us to do, then these other things will happen in our lives and in our ministry. The first thing he calls us to do is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, okay? To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. What does this mean? This means that we are working on our faith. We're working on our relationship with the Lord. We're working on learning more about him, on learning how to grow and grow in our faith, grow in our relationship, and our spiritual disciplines. We're working out our salvation. Okay? It shows, it portrays a Christian that is doing something, a Christian that is working, a Christian that is growing, okay? Not a Christian that is just stagnant and sitting and doing nothing for God's kingdom. You see, many, many of us, we're like stagnant water. And if I offended you, it's okay. I'll be gone in a couple hours. You'll never see me again, okay? Many of us, we're like stagnant water. Okay, what is stagnant water? It's water that doesn't do anything, water that just sits still, and with time, this water becomes toxic, okay? This water becomes undrinkable, and not just that, this water breeds bad things, like mosquitoes, okay? This stagnant water does nothing good for anyone except for the mosquitoes. Gives them a place to, okay? But it does nothing good. You see, many of us at church, we're just like this. We're stagnant water. We don't do anything, okay? A lot of you don't do anything in your churches. You don't do anything for God. You just come to church, you hear a good sermon, and you feel a little convicted, go back home to your normal life. Nothing changes. Your life doesn't change. You're not striving, you're not seeking, you're not working towards your salvation. And what happens is when we continue to live this lazy Christian life of just sitting and listening and consuming and not doing anything, we become stagnant. Instead of breathing good things, instead of our life doing good things for God's kingdom, for the church, or for the mission, what happens is our lives start breeding bad things. Okay? This is when sin starts coming in. When the sins of complaints and grumbling, which is what he talks about next, other sins of pride or laziness, all these sins start breeding, start growing because we're not doing anything with our faith. We're not growing in our faith. And that is the problem that many churches have. It's just full of people that are doing nothing, full of people that are just sitting and consuming, and instead of growing and breeding good things, they are sitting still and breeding sickness. So instead of bringing good things to their churches, they're bringing harmful things. And so what here Paul is saying, in other words, when he says, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling, he's saying, don't be stagnant water in your church and in God's kingdom. Don't bring diseases and filth like laziness, idleness, complaining, consumerism, selfishness, etc. Don't be that person that instead of doing something for God's kingdom, instead of trying to solve the problem that you see, instead of complaining about it, you do something about it. Instead of just saying, man, this church sucks because it doesn't do this or doesn't do that, say, hey, can I join this ministry to make it better? Or, hey, I noticed this church is not that friendly. Can I join the welcoming team because I'm super friendly? This is why I'm not going to complain, right? Well, can we do something about it instead of just sitting and allowing sin to grow and to fester in us and then create sickness in our churches? And so Paul here says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work towards growing in your faith. Don't be stagnant water. Because what happened is, once we do this, when we work on our faith, when we work on our spiritual disciplines, when we work on our relationship with the Lord, what happens is, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Okay? When we stop doing nothing and start doing something, then we start doing God's will. Then we start walking towards what God wants for our lives. You see, many of us, we go around, we walk through life wondering, God, what do you want for my life? God, what is your will? God, what is your plans for me? And we just pray and we expect this magical answer, a voice from heaven, I want you to do this, right? Or we expect the writing on the wall and we want it to be so easy. But oftentimes, the way God works in showing you his will is when you start walking with him, when you start serving him, when you start growing closer to him. That's when he starts showing you. That's when he starts working in you. Why? For his good pleasure, so that he can use your life to glorify him. Okay? I need to get out of my comfort and my self-centeredness of just thinking about myself and my needs and my time. I cannot serve at church because I'm too busy, because after this I'm going to go surfing. Or I cannot serve at church because my kids have to go to soccer practice. Or I cannot serve at church because of my I don't have enough energy, or I'm too tired from work. We have to get rid of our self-centeredness and be open to what God wants, because it's then and then when we can finally use our lives for something good, which is to glorify Him. Because that is the sole purpose of our lives, right? What is the purpose of the Christian life? It's simply to glorify the Lord, to live a life that honors Him, to live a life that glorifies Him. And I want you to think, I want you to ask yourself this question. Does me sitting around doing nothing and just complaining, grumbling, does that honor and glorify God? I don't think so. Does your life seek to honor and glorify God? So I want to ask you this question. How is God using your life? How is God using you, your gifts, your abilities, your privileges, your resources? How is God using you to contribute to His kingdom and to His glory? If you don't have an answer to this, then you're just being stagnant, stale water in this church and not contributing anything. What are we doing for God's kingdom and for His glory? Second, what is the second thing that Paul asks us to do here? He calls us to do all things without grumbling or disputing. Okay, to do all things without grumbling or disputing. What is he trying to get at here? He's trying to get at our attitude of service. What is our attitude when it comes to serving the Lord? All right? And where does this attitude of complaining and grumbling come from? It comes from our unhappiness, right? Our discontentment that we have with life, okay? Or with things, right? When the church doesn't do things the way I like them, I'm unhappy, right? I'm discontent. When the church didn't do this or said this or believed in this the way that I wanted it, I was discontent. I was unhappy. So, and that unhappiness, discontentment comes from, again, my own perspective. How I want, how I expect things to be. And when things are not the way that I want them to be, then I'm unhappy and discontent, and that leads me to grumbling and complaining. And here's the thing. As Christians, as individuals, if we don't learn to place our happiness, our joy in the Lord, we're going to live constant lives of unhappiness and discontentment. It's going to happen. No matter how much money you have, just look at all the news, look at all the people, all the rich people that have everything. They're so unhappy, they kill themselves. Why would they kill themselves if they have everything? They have all the houses, all the cars, all the money, but they kill themselves. Why? Because it doesn't bring them true joy. When we want to serve the Lord, and when we decide that, okay, I'm going to decide to live for the Lord, I need to seek my source of joy from the Lord and not from myself. Because when I do that, then that's when I start having a positive effect in my community, in my church, and in the world. And so many of us are like Debbie Downer, okay? We just have a bad attitude towards everything. Bad attitude towards serving, bad attitude towards work, or towards what the Pastor Peter or Pastor Phil, that they ask me to do this again, or they have to ask me to serve again, or they ask me, to help this person. Why does that person need so much help? Or, why does church need so many events, etc.? We oftentimes are the Debbie Downers. We have a bad attitude. We complain. And let me tell you, as a pastor, I hate complainers, okay? And I've told my interns this too. I hate it when they complain, because where is that complaining coming from? It's coming from a heart that is not finding satisfaction in the Lord. It's coming from a heart that is just looking at my own interest instead of the interest of the church, of God's work. You know, I wonder if Pastor Peter would take such a long sabbatical if no one here complained. He probably never will have a need to go on sabbatical if everyone just had a good attitude and served, right? But poor guy, he has to take such a long sabbatical. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the reason. But his church is so much easier, okay? I feel bad for pastors. I'm one of them. But if the church would just joyfully serve the Lord, man, ministry would be so easy, okay? Ministry would be so easy. But here's the thing. That's not what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to rob you of that happiness. He wants to rob you of that joy. And so he just wants to twist your attitude so that you just are filled with selfish desires and grumbling and complaining. And what happens is when we choose to forego that and do all things without grumbling and disputing, then this is what Paul says, right? He says, do this so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay? When we have a good attitude about serving, it becomes a light in this world. It becomes a light to others. We get to show others that even though I'm tired from studying all night or pulling all nighter or from working double shift or working so much or having to take care of my baby all night long because it was crying, that even though all that happened, I was tired, and the next day I had to serve at church and I did it joyfully, or I had to give up my evening to go to Bible study or to help or go, you know, do evangelistic something, I do it with joy. And that is, that shines a light in the world, because they go, how can you be so happy, so joyful doing all that, even though you're so busy, even though you're foregoing so many things? But when we serve the Lord with joy, without grumbling and disputing, with the right attitude, then he uses us all the more so to be lights in this world, to make a difference, to have an impact in this world. So let me ask you this. What is your attitude when it comes to serving others, the church, and God? What is your attitude when it comes to having to serve the person that maybe you don't want to serve because you don't get along, or to serve in the ministry that maybe is not the most important ministry in the church, or the ministry that no one pays attention to, or the ministry that has so much work? What is your attitude when it comes to serving the Lord? Do you do it with a joyful heart, or you do it with complaining and grumbling? I love the church. I grew up in the church. I was raised in the church. And I saw my dad serving the church so faithfully. No matter how tired he was from working all the hours in the day, he would commit his evenings too, to do house visits, to pray for people, to do Bible studies, and to serve at the church. And I got to see so much of that joy as he served others, as he served the Lord. And it's something, one of the legacies that he carried on, that he passed on to me, one of the legacies that I'm most grateful for, the attitude of serving. That when we serve, no matter how small or how big the task is, that we serve with joy, that we serve with a good attitude. That when Pastor Peter says, hey, go clean the bathroom, we say, yes, I will. We don't say, what? That's a janitor's job. What? Send the younger one to do it. Why me? When Pastor Peter says, take out the trash, yeah, I'll do it gladly. Thank you. What else would you like me to do? This is the type of attitude that we need to have when it comes to serving others, when it comes to serving the Lord. And when that happens, again, God uses us to make a difference, to make a be a light in this world that is so selfish, that is so self-centered, that is all about me, 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 and no one else. Third, what is the third thing here that Paul calls us to do as believers if we want to carry out this mission, vision of the church? The third thing he tells us to do is to hold fast to the word of life, okay? Hold fast to the word of life. In other words, hold fast to Jesus, okay? And it's a natural progression, okay? It's hard to hold on to Jesus when I still have all this junk that I need to get rid of. It's hard to hold on to Jesus when I'm being lazy. It's hard to hold on to Jesus when I'm just being stagnant, stale, dirty water. It's hard to hold on to Jesus when all I'm doing is thinking about myself and being self-centered, right? But what here Paul is calling us to do is, when you finally remember all that God is doing and wants to do through you, and you start seeing how God is moving in you, and you stop thinking about yourself, and you start letting go of yourself and your desires, That is when you can hold on to Jesus and be able to let him be the one that guides you and directs you in your life. So we need to learn to hold fast to Jesus. But in order to do that, we have to let go. First, we have to let go of the things of this world, okay? In Bolivia, we used to catch monkeys like this, okay? Monkeys are really dumb. They will hold on to something they want, and they won't let go. It's actually not that hard. Yeah, they jump around all over trees like crazy, but they're actually pretty easy to catch. All you have to do is set a trap with a hole, and I'm sure some of you have seen this illustration before, small enough to put their hand in, and then something big enough that when they grab it, they can't get their hand out, okay? So they'll put their hand in, they'll grab it, but because they want that thing so much, they will not let go. And because they won't let go, now they're carrying around this huge box or this coconut or something heavy, or that thing is tied to a chain, and even though they can't get away, they won't let go to run away. And you know what happens? We catch them. It's so easy to catch them because they're chained to that thing that they're holding on to. And that's what the devil does, right? He puts traps all around us, things that entice us. Money, good jobs, good careers, six-figure jobs right off college, right? The chill life of surfing forever in the beaches of San Diego and being able to go to the nicest restaurants even though you have to wait 3 hours to eat and being able to enjoy the nicest technology. All these things the enemy uses to entice us. The good children, the good kids, the good educated kids that are going to grow up to become, you know, super famous people and go to Ivy League colleges. Those all become the idols that we hold on to that we have a hard time living with. And the enemy knows that. And he sets traps like this all the time. And we're dumb monkeys that hold on to those traps and we can't let go. And what happens? We become easy pickings for the enemy. It's so easy for him to then distract us from serving at church. How many of you, be honest with yourself, committed to church, serving? Yes, Pastor Peter, Pastor Phil, I will serve in this ministry. But then a week later, oh, sorry, I can't come. I'm sick. I have COVID. Or I can't come. There's this event I need to go to. I'm sorry, I can't serve in this ministry. Or after a little bit, you know what? I have a girlfriend now. I don't have time. How many of us make those excuses? How many of us have made those excuses? We are given an opportunity to serve. We want to serve. But the enemy, the moment that he sees you looking at something better, Jesus, and wanting to work towards him, he reminds you, hey, wait a minute. You have to let go of this if you want to go that way. Do you really want that? And often we are unable to let go. And so as a church, how can we live out God's calling? How can we live out the calling of the church if we're unable to let go of the things that we idolize? Because the Lord wants to give us so much more. We are so obsessed with this little thing that is inside this coconut that we forget to see all the freedom and all the more amazing things that he has for us outside of that little coconut. We have to learn to let go. I want to share some of the things that as a family, we had to let go to Guatemala. I'm not sharing this to boast. I'm not sharing to say, oh, wow, look at that missionary. Look how much he gave up. Okay. But I'm doing it because I want to show you, first, you know, point out the things that we, the things that we tend to hold on to, and that is possible to let go. Okay. It's possible to let go. A lot of times we think we can't. What? You expect me to let go of this? My six-figure job? Are you kidding me? You know how much I could do with that money? Yeah, you could buy lots of boba for yourself. You could also do a lot more. But we often, again, think that it's impossible to let go, but it's not. First, when we decided to go to Guatemala, our kids were very small. Elijah was just turning 4, and Joel was only 11 months, about to turn 1 year old. Okay? And now, you know, we have a baby daughter on the way that God is giving us. But the thing, and I put this picture first because the hardest thing that we had to let go of was the future and the well-being and the safety of our children, right? As Americans, actually more my wife, not so much, but more, you know, her view, her dream of raising children is the typical dream, right? Send them to all the institutes and all the classes, after school programs, send them to the best elementary school, middle school, high school, and then send them to the best college and have the best job and have a lot of money and buy a house and live this boring cycle of just seeking comfort and nothing else. And when we decided to go to Guatemala, that is something that we had to let go, the future of my children. And one thing that I had to remember was the thing that I remember at Dr. Ryan's workshop one time at Summit many years ago, where he talked about his journey into mission. He said, we have to remember that our children are not our children first. Our children are God's children first. And God loves my two boys and my future daughter. He loves them more than I will ever love them. And he knows what's best for them more than what I know what's best for them. And he knows exactly what career he wants them to have and what path in life he wants them to have. And I need to submit to his guidance of my children. I need to let go of my children. This could have been something that the enemy could use to hold me back and say, hey, if you go to Guatemala, they have to go to your school. Hey, my school's not that bad, okay? And then what's going to happen with his college? And where's he going to study? And how is he going to learn? The whole experience. And you know what? I said, hey, I turned out okay. I came from Bolivia, and look where I am. It's not too bad, right? But the thing is, I had to let go and say, God, you're more important. More than teaching my children that they need to seek a certain career and a certain lifestyle, I need to teach my children to love God first, to seek him first, and to want to do his will first. And then, if he blesses you with a great job, awesome. Use it for his glory. Use it for his kingdom. But we reverse it, right? We reverse it. We think, if I do this first, then I will do God's things. No, it's never going to happen, because that thing is going to keep consuming you, and it's going to be harder to let go. Right? And often as parents, we become the hindrances of our own children to being able to accomplish God's calling in their lives. Because we push so hard, be a doctor, be a doctor, be an engineer, be a lawyer, be a doctor, be an engineer, be a lawyer. And then later on, God says, be a missionary. And then what happens? I'm sure some of you are experiencing this. I'm sure you're feeling a tug right now, but you're going, but if I leave everything behind, I'm going to disown my parents. I'm going to let my parents down. My parents wanted me to be a doctor, and I did it. What if I leave all that behind? How are they going to feel? And see, we have this tug, this conflict. And who caused that? The parents. We're the ones that impose that on our children. So for those of you who have children, change your mentality. Let go of your control. Let go of your children. They will turn out just fine. As long as they love Jesus and they follow God, you have to worry about nothing else. If you're thinking about having kids, before you even have kids, think about this. Let this be what guides you as a parent for your children. Pray for them, not praying that they will become rich, successful people, praying that they will become children that love the Lord and want to follow him. And trust me, God will take better care than you will. You think you're taking good care of them, you're harming them. You're harming them by controlling them. Allow the Lord to guide them and to lead them. You guys probably think I sound like Pastor Keith, huh? Guess who I learned that from, too? No, I'm just kidding. I learned it from experience, too, okay? The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. You know, I sent my kids. We went to Guatemala, and it was my concern, too. You know, what's going to happen with them? What about their salvation, their spiritual life? Just a couple weeks ago, Elijah accepted Christ. Yeah, not through me, but, he just went to a VBS that one of the STMs hosted a couple months ago, and on the spot, he said, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to follow him. I want the Spirit to live in me, and he accepted Christ. And for me, that was the greatest joy. And that was me, that was the Lord showing me, hey, I'm taking care of your kids. Don't worry about it, right? Look, your son already accepted me. Look at how much more I'll be able to do in his life. God is faithful. Even with our children. Second, we often have a hard time letting go of our careers, our jobs, our position. This is my wife. My wife is a very, very accomplished, successful woman. Okay, even when she was in college, she started internships at Chevron. So every summer, instead of partying or instead of relaxing, going on vacation, she would go. She interned at Chevron, and when she graduated, she became full-time employee, worked for Chevron finance department, reached pretty high positions. Then she worked for Amazon, and while she was pregnant with Elijah, our firstborn, she went to get her master's, her MBA, and then got her MBA. She graduated, and so that's why there's a picture of her graduating with Elijah. And my wife was a very accomplished woman. She made a lot of money. A lot of nice money. Yeah, I was a teacher. I made no money. Okay, she was my sugar mama. Okay, we got to live in San Francisco and enjoy the San Francisco life because of her salary, because of her all her accomplishments. It was nice. It was comfortable. But guess what? God asked us to give that up too. God asked her to give it up. You know what? The irony is, she finished her MBA after sacrificing so much, working so hard for it, sleepless nights studying and commuting to Berkeley. Not even a year later, she left to Guatemala, right? She finished, didn't even get to use her MBA for anything. She left to Guatemala. And you may think, oh, that's such a waste. What a waste of her time. But see, that's the attitude we have when we value that more than God. When we value our life, our career, our job, our money more than God, it's harder to let go because we start thinking, what a waste. Look at all the money I'm leaving behind. Look at the career, at the position, at the influence I'm leaving behind if I have to follow God. But the Lord had to show us we had to let go of that, especially her. She had to let go of that. We left go of our nice, comfortable home. It looks ugly in the front, but it's pretty nice inside. This is in the heart of San Francisco, okay? It's not cheap real estate, okay? We had a nice apartment. We had a nice house. Our central location, right next to Chinatown. We ate dim sum every morning. It's so nice. And when I had to take care of my kids, I would just walk two blocks in any direction and find a park, and my kid could play in the park and be safe. And it was a very comfortable location, very comfortable home, very comfortable life. Church was not far. I had my little scooter and then a motorcycle and just commute back and forth. We had to give that up. Many of us don't want to give up our homes, right? The things that we buy, the things we value, the things that we have in our possession. We say, well, what about all my homes that I have? Sell them. Give them for Jesus. Use them for the Lord, right? We had to give up our friends. Okay, my wife is a very social person, an extrovert person. I'm more introvert. If I don't see anyone else in my life, I don't care, okay? Again, the only people I don't mind, the only people I would ever want to have around me is my wife, my kids, and Pastor Andy. No one else, okay? But I can be fine by myself. I really can. My wife can't. She's very social. And so she had to leave behind all her friends, her community. She went to a country, didn't know the language, the culture. She had never even been there. I had been there twice because I went on the mission trip. She was pregnant. She couldn't come. She didn't even know what she was getting into, okay? She just went out of obedience, but she had to let go of her community. And she had to learn how to rely on the Lord and how to rely in Him. And see, that's something that we often don't want to also let go. Let go of our friends, let go of our community, let go of the friendships that we have and the memories and all the things that we could do together, all the trips, all the vacations. Oftentimes, our friends also become a big hindrance to ministry, right? You want to serve a church. You want to give a church. But then your friends say, hey, let's go travel. Let's go take a vacation. Hey, let's go eat out. Hey, let's meet up on Sunday morning. And because they're our friends and they're our bros, we don't want to. We don't want to say no to them. Oh, yeah, sure, let's go. Pastor Phil, I'm sorry. I can't come serve today in the morning of, right? We often, if you can't let go of those friendships as well, they can become a hindrance to ministry. And lastly, family. Family is so important, right? We all value family so much, and I think this is one of the biggest things. You know, one of the things, the hardest things for me to leave behind was my children's relationship with their grandparents, right, with my wife's dad. They had such a good, close relationship because they would come up and take care of our kids. And that's something we had to let go too, knowing that they were not going to grow up with their grandparents. And again, family can often become a hindrance to ministry to us because we value it so much more than God. And so, don't worry, I'm about to finish. Okay, so what My question to you is this. So what happens when we accept this calling, and instead of holding on to the world, we hold on to Jesus? This is what happens. So that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. What happens when we hold on to Jesus? Nothing that we do will be in vain. Nothing. Okay? You give up your life 1 week to do mission, a year, 2 years, 3 years, it's not wasted. We have an attitude, oh, but all my friends are already making money, have great jobs, they already bought a house, I'm being a missionary, poor, I don't have anything. But that's the wrong attitude. The right attitude is, I'm in a better place than they are because I am holding on to Jesus. Because I am holding on to him, and he is the most important thing. And at the end of the day, when you die and you go to heaven, where's all your money? Where are your cars? Where's your house? Where are your accomplishments? Where are your diplomas? They're down there rotting, useless, for no reason. And then you're going to go, what a waste. All those hours and days that I spent suffering and toiling to make all that money just so I could enjoy it for the last 10 years of my retirement before I died. What a waste. It was all in vain. It was all for nothing. But when we hold on to Jesus, it will never be in vain. Everything that we do, every little thing that we do for the Lord, whether it be setting chairs, whether it be cleaning, whether it be organizing, whether it be giving rights, everything, it will be used for God's kingdom. Nothing will be wasted. Nothing will be in vain. And it will fill us with joy. That's what it says, right? It says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. When we serve the Lord and we hold on to him, he becomes the only source of joy, the only thing that is never going to change, the only thing that's never going to rust, the only thing that's never going to go away is Jesus. And so why not put our all and our joy in the only permanent and constant thing in this life, Jesus Christ? This is what Paul is trying to get us. If we as a church want to really make a difference in this world, we need to stop thinking about only ourselves, and we need to start thinking about Jesus and holding on to him and only him and nothing else. So my question for you is this: are you willing to be poured out as a drink offering to Jesus? Are you willing to be poured out to serve and sacrifice for others? Are you willing to make Jesus your number one priority? And when he does that, when you do that, are you willing to let him guide you and lead you wherever he takes you? Because when we live out God's calling in our lives, man, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. If you haven't experienced true joy, if you haven't experienced joy, you won't do it until you start living out God's will in your life. There's nothing that compares to it. The last 2 years of my life, and I want to say my spiritual life because I've enjoyed a lot of things too, but the last 2 years of my spiritual life of having to go through COVID, starting a school, running a center, running the church, running the school, going through all the changes and issues and conflicts and problems that arise, even though it was so hard and it seemed like it was never going to end and it was tiring, I had fun. It was the most fun I've had in a long time because I was able to let go of control and rely solely on the Lord and trust in him. And I got to see, I got to witness. I don't have time because I'm already overdue, but I just got to witness so many things that the Lord did in that place. In spite of my weakness, in spite of my limits, in spite of my lack of resources, in spite of everything that was going against me, the Lord was faithful, and he showed me that he's greater than all those things. And everything that we let go, that we lost, he replaced it with so many better things, eternal things, things from him, not from this world. And so I took the liberty of changing Pastor Andy's last statement that he made and adding today's points into this. The calling of the church May we be a church filled with joy and gladness that is committed to live out the gospel, called into a radically new community of love, service, and sacrifice towards others, and having let go of this world, are sent out into the world by the missional heart of God to become a church that displays his incredible plan of redemption. Let's be a church that doesn't just sit around and do nothing. You guys have so much potential. I look at this room and I see so much potential. So many young people and old people too. Everyone, God can use everyone. So many people that God can use for his kingdom. So many. Imagine, just imagine if every single one of you chose to use your lives for the Lord instead of for yourself. You guys will be unstoppable. This church will be unstoppable. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you guys could completely transform this whole city. You have so many resources. Churches in America are so rich. They have so many nice things. Just look at your church. What a nice church. You have air conditioning. Okay, you have unlimited snacks and food that they give you every Sunday. You have such a nice worship band. You have such nice facilities. You have programs. They take you out to lunch just because you're new and you're visiting. Right? They have all these events that they do for you. And they put up campfires for you. And they put up parties for you and events for you. Man, you're so spoiled. Your church has so many resources. And you know why they invest so much on you? Not so you get fat and lazy, but so you can be fed and you can be discipled and mentored so that you can grow into the believer, the Christian that God wants you to be so that you can have a bigger impact in this world. And so as you guys think about your church, as you guys think about this new year of the church starting, all the programs restarting, all the events restarting, all the openings that are going to come up with ministries, I want you to think, what am I doing for God's kingdom? Am I just being stagnant water? Or am I going to be clear, clean water that is able to bring joy and be able to bring good things to this church? And that everything that I do it with a good attitude to love others, to serve others, to glorify God. Let me end with this three questions to remind you. And I want you guys to think about this. And you know, right now, and we're going to go into prayer of offering. And this is a way of you to offer to the Lord. If you don't have money because you're a poor college student, at least offer your time. At least offer your skills. At least offer your life. That is the only thing God wants from you. He doesn't want your money. He wants your life. He wants you to give him everything of your person so that he can use you then for his kingdom. And so as we prepare our hearts for offering communion, you know, I want you guys to just close your eyes. Close your eyes. And as I ask these questions, I want you to ponder them and think about them. Be honest with yourself. Are you walking towards your calling? Are you working out your salvation? Is your faith alive or is it stagnant? Be honest with yourself. Where am I in my spiritual walk? Where am I in my relationship with the Lord? Am I sitting around just doing nothing? If I am, ask the Holy Spirit, wake me up. Kick me and wake me up out of this slumber, out of this laziness. And show me how you can use me, how you can use the gifts you have given me, the talents you have given me, the time you have given me, the energy, the youth, the age, the resources. Show me how you can use me to bring life to those around me. Second, are you doing, if you're already serving, what is your attitude towards serving? Are you doing all things with joy and gladness? Are you bringing life to those around you? Are you having a good attitude every time you're asked to serve and to give and to sacrifice? Or are you grumbling and complaining all the time? Pray, ask the Lord, show me the areas that I lack joy. Show me the areas that I constantly complain about in this church or ministry or about anything else, and help me to change, to have the right attitude, to serve you with joy and gladness. And lastly, you need to picture yourself as the monkey. Yeah, don't be offended. Just think of yourself as a monkey. What are the things you are holding on to right now that are keeping you trapped in that monkey trap? Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me, what are those things inside those cages that I'm holding on to that I just can't let go? And ask Him, give me the strength to let go. Show me that you are so much more worth it than this tiny, insignificant thing that I'm holding on to so dearly. And in doing so, break the chains, break the holds that the enemy, that Satan has over you. Confess them, cast them out right now in the name of Jesus. Break free from those chains. If you idolize your family, your children, cast it out in the name of Jesus. If you idolize your status, your reputation, your job, money, your career, cut it. Let go of it. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. If you idolize comfort, if you idolize this life more than Jesus, anything that the Holy Spirit is willing to you right now, pray. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I declare that this object no longer has power over me. I break the chains that this idol has over my life. Once you have done so, picture yourself running to Jesus. You're free. Now you're free to be used by the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. I thank you for having so much grace and patience for us. And even though we are such selfish and self-centered creatures, sometimes we're so dumb and so lazy, God, you still love us so much. And you still welcome us with open arms. So, Father, I pray that as we continue to meditate and ponder on these things, that we will let go of those idols, let go of our self-centeredness, and that we will run freely to you, because we know that in you there is no condemnation. We know that you don't judge us anymore, but you love us and you wait for us with open arms. So Father, we thank you. We want to let go of the things of this world because we want to follow you. We want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want to live our lives for you. And this morning, I want to invite anyone, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you this morning. Let go of your life. Let go of your control. Let go of your beliefs and just submit right now to the Holy Spirit that is tugging at your heart and saying, hey, Jesus is so much better than anything else. Let me just show you who He is and the love He has for you. Open your heart to Him and allow Him to come into your life. And you'll be able to experience true joy, a joy that never wavers, a joy that never leaves, a joy that'll be constant and there forever. Father, we thank you again for all that you have done. Father, we want to be a church that is offering everything to you, not just the remainders of our time or our energy after the end of the week, but God, we want to offer you our best. The best of our abilities, the best of our strength, the best of our energy, the best of our resources. We want to offer it to you. And we want you to be honored and glorified in our lives.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, may we not be stagnant in our faith, but may we glorify you. Teach us to place our joy in you. We pray against idolatry in our lives. May we be steadfast in our allegiance to you. Thank you for the generosity of those entrusting our church with their offering. We are reminded that everything we have comes from you. Please grant our church wisdom in stewarding this offering, that we may use it for your kingdom work. In your name, amen.